Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 10, The Pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. This is quite a reasonably long chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam, 50-odd verses in the chapter. Let's let the ladies get their flowers sorted out. Can do one big plastic crunch. Is a sound effects. Is it possible to empty them all at once? Or you can do it for 1 hour? It's a very wonderful service. You don't have to do it outside, just empty them all at once. So there's no more mice rattling in the plastic bags. Very beautiful Vyasa sign you made for them. Gorgeous sign. I've never seen Prabhupada's Vyasa sign like this. So we'll start to read, we'll read the verses, translations from the ninth canto. Many of you won't get the opportunity today to read the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra. So we'll relish them together today and this afternoon. At 5 o'clock there's also Ram Katha in the temple. This Yena Yena Vitarana Bhagavan Haririshvaraha. This katara of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very important for devotees. Prabhupada says many times that it's the means by which the devotees can become free from material affliction, from our attraction to the material energy, to Maya. Simply by hearing about Krishna, we become disinterested in the mundane worldly affairs, and we become fascinated by transcendence. We become fascinated by the potential to enter into a different realm of existence by hearing, constant hearing. Śrīndra tamasvākata Krishna. Punya śrāvana kirtana. Pridyanti stoya bhadrāni virunoti sudhitsatam. Krishna's our best friend, Surit, is very dear to the heart of the devotees. In the ninth canto, it says that Sadaho Ridayam Mayam Sadhunam Ridayam Tvaham, that Krishna's in the heart of the devotees and the devotees are in the heart of Krishna. Naham Tevyo Managapi, and the devotees, they don't know anybody else except for Krishna, and Krishna doesn't know anybody else except for his devotees. And this intimate relationship is cultivated by Shravana, by hearing. Hearing about Krishna, like the wives of the proud Vedic Brahmanas in the Krishna book, they heard about Krishna and developed attachment for Krishna. They hadn't seen Krishna. But by hearing about Krishna, simply from the people they would buy the milk products from, they buy the yogurt and the curd and the butter, and the people they would buy from, they're always talking about Krishna. And just by hearing about Krishna in the marketplace, they became attached to Krishna. Just by hearing about his transcendental features, his appearance, his characteristics, what he likes and what he doesn't like, where he goes, what he does. The Janamatkama Chime Divyam, the transcendental nature of Krishna is very, very attractive and it's very powerful, and it's transcendental. Therefore, it has the potency, potential, to elevate the consciousness to a higher realm of existence, from mundane realm to a higher realm of existence, by this sound vibration. And here in this chapter, Srila Prabhupada points out a very important message, that we should hear this Krishna Katha in a bona fide way. We should hear this Krishna Katha from the Tattva Darshini, not from the mental speculator or from some ulterior motivation of the political wranglers, Prabhupada says in one of his purports. Because we need to hear in disciplic succession through parampara. And then the message has full effect by hearing through parampara, the full effect of the potency of the transcendental nature of Krishna Katha. Then the heart becomes cleansed of all the misgivings, of all anattas, of all those things which have no wealth, are destroyed or dissolved and dissipated from the heart. So we have the great fortune to hear Krishna Katha from Srila Prabhupada, who is very unique in many, many ways. But his major contribution is the presentation of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the ultimate weapon for Kali to destroy the influence of Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada has left behind this amazing arsenal of Srimad Bhagavatam. Time bombs, he said one time. These books. And they explode the myth of illusion. They explode in the confused minds of the misdirected civilization, the misidentification or misunderstanding, misconceptions that we have developed because of our false ego. So let's hear Srila Prabhupada's presentation. I just lost one of my bookmarks of the Shima of Lord Chaitanya's, Lord Ramachandra's transcendental lila. The first verse is Shukadeva Goswami speaking to Kurukshetra Maharaj, and he describes the lineage from which Lord Ramachandra comes. The son of Maharaj Katvanga was Divya Bahu, and his son was the celebrated Maharaj Raghu. From Maharaj Raghu came Aja, and from Aja was born the great personality Maharaj Dasharatha. Being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansion of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasharatha. And Srila Prabhupada clarifies in his purport that these four are Vishnu Tattva personalities. And he quotes the verse from Brahma Samhita Advaita Machutam Anadim Anantarupam, and other verses from Brahma Samhita. Text 3, O King Purukshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramchandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramchandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. So, Prabhupada explains in this purport the importance of hearing the activities of Lord Ramchandra from the Tattva Darshanis in the disciplic succession. And here it's said that Maharaj Parikshit is coming in a great line of devotees. Savaya Bhagavato Rajam Pandaveya Maharata. He's a great Raja Rishi. And he became Krishna conscious, fully Krishna conscious, by Balakrida, Krishna Krida, by playing Krishna Lila as a child. Prabhupada says in the second canto of Bhagavatam, that Parikshit Maharaj was, he was, because he was born into such a royal lineage of great kings and devotees, he was exposed to Krishna consciousness from his birth, right from the womb, you know, from inside the womb of his mother, he was exposed to Krishna, he was protected by Krishna. But because he was born in this great family, he had the opportunity to play with Krishna, with Krishna dolls, and Prabhupada says, Krishna kridam cha adade. He played Krishna katha, he played Krishna lila. Sometimes he would be acting as Krishna, sometimes he would be acting as a cowherd boy, sometimes he would act as a rakshas, as a demon. In this way we see the devotee children in ISKCON, all around the world, they might one day they might come to class dressed up like Kamsa. And the next day they come to class dressed up like Pralambasura. There's a boy in Florida, New Raman Reti, in Alachua. And every day he came to class dressed as a different character. Favorite character for the day. He went into this character of sometimes he was Krishna, sometimes he was Subal, sometimes he was demon. Many of the children, you can see, sometimes their favorite character are the demons. And the parents are, no, you got it wrong. Krishna's going to kill this guy. But I'm going to be Pralambasura. So the parents let them be Pralambasura for the day. Any attraction for Krishna will be beneficial. Even if you're attracted to the demon of Krishna, it'll be beneficial. One time we were distributing books here in Melbourne, in North Melbourne. There's a small shopping centre there in North Melbourne. I forget the name of the street, but it's just not a very big centre. So we were walking around doing books, shop to shop, and we went into this shop. It was an old shop, old musty old shop selling in Manchester or something like this. You know, bed sheets and different things like this. Old lady in the shop, she must have been 80 years old. Right down the back of the shop. Nobody will come into this shop. Only a book distributor, I think. Nobody else is going in the shop. Right? Nobody will buy something from this old lady at the back. So I think, what am I going to do with the Krishna book in this shop? Right? So I went up. And we were just like the devotees, the devotional cloth. And tried to be a bit upbeat and happy to meet her and talk to her about the weather and the shop and things. So then I said, we have these books. And she asked, what is the book? I said, this book is about Krishna. And she said, who's Krishna? I said, Krishna, he's a god. And she was a nice little lady, and she said, oh God, what is God do? So I told her, God is, he performs different activities, and he's very beautiful, and like this describes something of God, and he's very peaceful, and he makes people peaceful, and I kept stressing all this stuff. So she said, give me a look at the book. So I opened the book, and the table of contents, and it says, Advent of Krishna, and then we go down the table of contents. Killing of Putana, killing of Kamsa, killing of Pralambasura. So, every chapter was killing, killing, killing. And she said, you said he was a peaceful guy, he's a nice guy. His killing is transcendental, what can I say? And anyway, she bought the book. She bought Krishna book. So any attraction to Krishna and Krishna Lila will be beneficial. That's the point Prabhupada is making. And Maharaj Parikshit had heard this pastime many, many times of Ram Lila. Ram Lila is very popular in India. Left, right and center, north, south, east and west in India, you'll find Ram Bhaktas. Wherever you go, you'll see Hanuman Murti. I've never been to a place in India where there's no Hanuman. Maybe there might not be Ganesh, but there'll be Hanuman. Usually Ganesh. Hanuman is the most favorite murti in India, whether it's Govardhan Hill or Rameshwaram or Sri Rangam or Dwarka. You'll find Hanuman everywhere in India, West Bengal, East Bengal, in Delhi, in Noida, in Navi Mumbai. Hanuman is everywhere. Hanuman Mandir. It has to be Hanuman Temple. And Hanuman usually is like this reddish color. There's a story why he became red. He asked Sita Devi one time, why she's put this kumkum here in her path? Why did you put that? So Sita said, I put this because Ram is my love, my only love. I have love just for Ram, nobody else. I just love Ram and nobody else. So then I put this. It means I love Ram. So Hanuman said, I also love Ram. Then he was looking, how can I show Sita that I love Ram? And he found this huge vat of dye, like kumkum. It wasn't kumkum, but it was a color. And he jumped in, and he became fully red. All of his body was full, and he came out to Sita, and he showed his body all red. He said, I love Ram more than you. Fully I'm red. You just have it like this. I have all over my body. So that's how he became red color, to show his love for Ram. And also Krishna used to hear Ramayana. Parikshit Maharaj used to hear Ramayana. It's the same family tradition. So it's a tradition to hear Ram Katha. Well, Prabhupada told this many times, that in his youth he remembers going to these Pandal programs and hearing Mahabharata or hearing Ramayana and traveling for a long distance. Sometimes you see now in Mayapur, if you go to Mayapur, that for the festivals there's many, many people come. The whole complex is completely jam-packed. I was there on the Gopanin day this year, and it was packed. And the devotees, the lineup for getting into the temple was right out the front gate, practically. And all the people were sleeping on the ground. They came prepared. They had all their mosquito nets and everything. So there was this lines and lines of mosquito nets around the compound, on all the grass and concrete, anywhere they could sleep. All around Prabhupada's Bhajan Kutir at the front. Right everywhere, all around the Samadhi, right up to the temple. There was an ocean of mosquito nets. So in the morning, hundreds and hundreds of people sleeping out to go to Mangalati. Like sometimes in Swanson Street, outside these shops, you see all these people lined up sleeping out for 3 days. I said, why are you sleeping on the street? They look like nice people, don't they? Chinese students, intelligent people. Why are you sleeping on the street? You got money, they've all got iPads and iPhones. You don't have to sleep on the street. You got more money than I have, and you sleep on the street. So they said to me, we're waiting for a special. What special? We're waiting for this special shoe. It's going to be released. So I'm going to stay here for 5 days to get the shoe. Be the first person to buy the shoe in the street, in the shop. First person in Melbourne to buy the shoe. What shoe? It's a special basketball shoe. No, it's for playing basketball. Right? I said, wow, how much? It's $350 for a pair of shoes. It's cheap. They're going to be cheap on the first day. So I'm going to buy the first one in Melbourne. Then I said, you play basketball? He said, no, I don't play basketball. I said, well, line me up. You don't play basketball. You're going to buy this. There's all some media hype. Actually, somebody told me they just put them out the front door. They pay them to go. But I was convinced. So, this is... Krishna heard this katha. And he's very attracted by this katha. Mother Yashoda used to speak Ramalila to Krishna. When Krishna was sleeping in the night time. When she put him to sleep, she would speak Ramayana. Oh, that was the point. Krishna Prabhupada said when he came back from this Ram Katha, when he came back from Mahabharata, from these Pandals, they would talk about the pastime. of Krishna and Ram, and they'll remember them and they'll dream about the pastime, because they just heard the pastime and they talked about the pastime and they walk long distance. Well, that was my point. The people sleeping out in Mayapur, they come from a long village far away. They're not coming from Swarup Ganj or somewhere, you know, close by. They're coming from far distant villages, so the devotees let them sleep there. They can't go home at night and come back from Mangalati. It's too far. So they sleep there. I don't know what will happen when we open TOVP, my God. But they sleep there. And Prabhupada says like this, and Krishna also, he heard Ram Lila, and he loved to hear the pastime of Ram. His expansion. He loved to hear how Ram entered the forest and what he did in the forest, and he met the sadhus and sages and rishis, and he lived amongst them, and he was with Sita, and then he was very absorbed. And he had an agreement with Mother Yashoda that she would keep talking as long as he was awake. And when he went to sleep, she would stop the story, the pastime. And so Krishna had to keep saying, yes, yes, keep speaking. I'm still awake. I'm still awake. And then when he would stop, Mother Yashoda would say a little bit more, Kata, and then she would stop, and she'll go to her other thing. So then she got into this pastime of, when Lord Ram was about to kill a demon, I don't think it was Ravana, but it was to kill one big demon. And then it was very intense, and she was building up to this pastime where Ram was about to get his bow, and Krishna was absorbed in this pastime, and then all of a sudden he jumped up. She thought he was sleeping. And he jumped up and he asked, where is his bow? Where is my bow? Mera dunush kahai. Krishna's asking, where did my bow go? And Radha Yashoda could see that he was Ram. He completely absorbed himself in this. Also Lord Nityananda, he's famous for playing this Ram Lila, Lakshmana. So the katha is it's eternal katha. And it comes before Krishna Katha. Even Krishna Radhisht, Krishna Radhisht, Lord Nityananda Radhisht, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates Radhisht, Ram Lila. To keep the promise of his father intact, Lord Ramchandra immediately gave up the position of king, and accompanied by his wife, Mother Sita, wandered from one forest to another on his lotus feet, which were so delicate that they were unable to bear even the touch of Sita's palms. The Lord was also accompanied by Hanuman, king of the monkeys, or by another monkey, Sugriva, and by his own younger brother, Lord Lakshmana, both of whom gave him relief from fatigue of wandering in the forest. Having cut off the nose and ears of Supanaka, thus disfiguring her, the Lord was separated from Mother Sita. He therefore became angry, moving his eyebrows and thus frightening the ocean, who then allowed the Lord to construct a bridge to cross the ocean. Subsequently, the Lord entered the kingdom of Ravana to kill him, like a fire devouring a forest. May that Supreme Lord, Ramchandra, give us all protection. In the arena of the sacrifice performed by Vishwamitra, Lord Ramchandra, the king of Ayodhya, killed many demons, rakshasas and uncivilized men who wandered at night in the mode of darkness. May Lord Ramchandra, who killed these demons in the presence of Lakshman, be kind enough to give us protection. O king, the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra are wonderful, like those of a baby elephant. In the assembly where Mother Sita was to choose her husband in the midst of the heroes of the world, he broke the bow belonging to Lord Shiva. This bow was so heavy that it was carried by 300 men. But Lord Ramchandra bent and strung it and broke it in the middle, just as a baby elephant breaks a stick of sugarcane. Thus the Lord achieved the hand of Mother Sita, who was equally as endowed with transcendental qualities of form, beauty, behavior, age, and nature. Indeed, she was the goddess of fortune, who constantly rests on the chest of the Lord. while returning from Sita's home after gaining her at the assembly of competitors, Lord Ramchandra met Parashuram. Although Parashuram was very proud, having rid the earth to the royal order 21 times, he was defeated by the Lord, who appeared to the Akshatriya of the royal order. Carrying out the order of his father, who was bound by a promise to his wife, Lord Ramchandra left behind his kingdom, opulence, friends, well-wishers, residence, and everything else, just as a liberated soul gives up his life and went to the forest with Sita. Some people say that Kaikeyi was, not Kaikeyi, Mantara, was the most important character in the Ramayana. Mantara. She's the most famous personality in Ramayana. Without her, the whole Lila wouldn't take place. And so some people glorify her, that she did such a great service. Amazing service to inspire Kaikeyi. While wandering in the forest, where he accepted a life of hardship, carrying his invincible bow and arrows in his hand, Lord Ramchandra deformed Ravana's sister, who was polluted with lusty desires, by cutting off her nose and ears. He also killed her 14,000 Rakshasa friends, headed by Kara, Trishira, and Dushana. O King Parikshit, when Ravana, who had 10 heads on his shoulders, heard about the beautiful and attractive features of Sita, his mind was agitated by lusty desires and he went to kidnap her. To distract Lord Ramchandra from his ashram, Ravana sent Maricha in the form of a golden deer. And when Lord Ramchandra saw that wonderful deer, he left his residence and followed it and finally killed it with a sharp arrow, just as Lord Shiva killed Daksha. When Ramchandra entered the forest and Lakshmana was also absent, the worst of the Rakshasas, Ravana, kidnapped Sita Devi, the daughter of the king of Yudhaya. Just as a tiger seizes up unprotected sheep when the shepherd is absent. Then Lord Ramchandra wandered into the forest with his brother Lakshmana, as if very much distressed due to separation from his wife. Thus he showed by his personal example the condition of a person attached to a woman. Lord Ramchandra, whose lotus feet are worshipped by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, had assumed the form of a human being. Thus he performed the funeral ceremony of Jatayu, who was killed by Ravana. The Lord then killed the demon named Kabanda, and after making friends with the monkey chiefs, killing Vali and arranging for the deliverance of Mother Sita, he went to the beach of the ocean. After reaching the beach, Lord Ramchandra fasted for 3 days, awaiting the arrival of the ocean personified. When the ocean did not come, the Lord exhibited his pastime of anger, and simply by his glancing over the ocean, all the living entities within it, including the crocodiles and sharks, were agitated by fear. Then the personified ocean fearfully approached Lord Ramchandra, taking all paraphernalia to worship him, falling at the Lord's lotus feet. The personified ocean spoke as follows. O all-pervading Supreme Person, we are dull-minded and did not understand who you are. But now we understand that you are the Supreme Person, the Master of the entire universe, the unchanging and original personality of Godhead. The demigods are infatuated with the mode of goodness, the Prajapatis with the mode of passion, and the Lord of ghosts with the mode of ignorance. But you are the Master of all these qualities. My Lord, may you use my water as you like. Indeed, you may cross it and go to the abode of Ravana, who is the great source of disturbance and crying for the three worlds. He is the son of Vishvava, but is condemned like urine. Please go kill him, and thus regain your wife Sita Devi. O great hero, although my water presents no impediment to your going to Lanka, please construct a bridge over it to spread your transcendental fame. Upon seeing this wonderfully uncommon deed of your lordship, all the great heroes and kings in the future will glorify you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is said that a son and urine emanate from the same source, the genitals. When a son is a devotee, you are a great learned person. Similar discharge for begetting a son is successful. But if the son is unqualified and brings no glory to the family, he is no better than Urine. Here, Ravana is compared to Urine because he was a cause of disturbances to the three worlds. Thus, the ocean personified wanted him killed by Lord Ramchandra. One feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramchandra, is omnipotence. The Lord can act without regard to material impediments or inconveniences. But to prove that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and was not merely advertised as Godhead or elected by popular vote, he constructed a wonderful bridge over the ocean. Nowadays, it has become fashionable to create some artificial god who performs no uncommon activities. A little magic will bewilder a foolish person into selecting an artificial god because he does not understand how powerful God is. Lord Ramchandra, however, constructed a bridge over the water with stone by making the stone float. This is proof of God's uncommonly wonderful power. Why should someone be accepted as God without displaying extraordinary potency by doing something never to be done by any common man? We accept that Lord Ramchandra as a Supreme Personality of Godhead because he constructed this bridge. And we accept Lord Krishna as a Supreme Personality of Godhead because he lifted Govardhan Hill when he was only 7 years old. We should not accept any rascal as God or an incarnation of God, for God displays special features in his various activities. Therefore, the Lord himself says in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma kama chame divyam, evam yo vetita tata, yakva deham puna jama. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. The activities of the Lord are not common. They are transcendentally wonderful and not to be performed by any living being. The symptoms of the Lord's activities are all mentioned in the Shastras, and after one understands them, one can accept the Lord as he is. In Navi Mumbai, a place where we stay in India, there's just around the corner from our apartment block, there's a temple. They build all these funny little temples. It's a new part of Mumbai. And the government, the council, left all these side corners of the blocks empty for some reason. And different people started to... One day someone put a picture of a deity there. I think it was... Ganesh, or I don't know. And then the next day someone came and offered some incense to the picture, under a tree. And the next day three people came and someone offered a flower and incense. And then the next week they started building a little cover over the picture. And then the next month they started building some bamboo sticks to make a bit of a little pandal so people could sit there. And then by the end of the 3 or 4 months there was a fence built around the wall. Then 6 months was a mandir, fully operating temple. Now it's packed. Like this, in Navi Mumbai, there's temples everywhere. And they're all on government land. They're not supposed to be there. And they're very popular. Anyway, there's one temple like this, but this is a bit different, this temple. Is Krishna Kumar here? Krishna Kumar. There's a temple just around the corner from our place. We were living together in Navi Mumbai, opposite each other. And there's a, just around the corner, maybe near the Sai Baba temple, two blocks up from Sai Baba temple, there's a temple, and on the weekend, on Sunday night, I think it's Sunday night, all the local people gather there, and there's a big throne. This guy sits up on a seat. You know that temple? He sits on his seat. And then everybody comes from the village. That's a city, but it was an old village, I guess. Everybody comes, and they glorify this person who's sitting on the seat. He's God for the day. And they say how good he is, and how he gives some speech, and everybody's clapping, and everybody's like, and packed. Like, a lot of people there, a couple hundred people there, glorifying this guy. And next week, a different guy sits there. And next week a different guy. So every week there's a different god there, sitting there. And he gets so much nice glorification. and he gives some blessing also. And this guy, just some normal guy, you know, from the street, this whole thing is dark, gets off there and he does whatever he does. He drinks tea and smokes beers. And he sits there and he's God for the day. He gets a couple of hours of being God. But Prabhupada said, this is useless, God. If you can't lift the Govardhan Hill or if you can make a stone bridge, it's God. Now scientists also try to be God all the time. They're so good. We can make a bridge with no bolts. Why did they glorify this bridge in Howrah Bridge? Because there's no bolts or something. It's the biggest bridge in the world without one bolt. So they're God. Howrah Bridge. So, or the what is it? In San Francisco? Golden Gate. Golden Gate Bridge. They say that it's unbreakable. Even if there's a hurricane or earthquake or nothing can move it. It's completely unbreakable, unshakable bridge. But we know that's not true. They can be shaken. But they believe it's unbreakable. But Krishna does something very extraordinary. And then he's God. That's the point that Prabhupada makes here. Important point for meditation. Sukadeva Goswami then says, after constructing the bridge over the ocean by throwing into the water the peaks of mountains, whose trees and other vegetation had been shaken by the hands of great monkeys, Lord Ramchandra went to Lanka to release Sita Devi from the clutches of Ravana. With the direction and help of Vibhishana, Ravana's brother, the Lord, along with the monkey soldiers headed by Sugriva, Nila and Hanuman, entered Ravana's kingdom Lanka, which had previously been burnt by Hanuman. This is a very wonderful pastime of Hanuman going there and finding Sita, going through the different palaces of Ravana and seeing all this debauchery and all these things happening in Lanka and the enjoyment of the capacity for enjoyment of Ravana, which is unlimited. And then finally finding Sita and then convincing Sita that he was a messenger of Ram, and then Hanuman seeing Sita being mistreated by the Rakshasis, these very vile-looking entities, some with one eye, some with 15 eyes, some with all distorted bodies and limbs, and screaming and harassing and teasing her and forcing her to accept Ravana. How she could not accept Ravana? He's the most beautiful person, most handsome guy, he's the strongest, he's this, he's that, he's most qualified, he's most learned. How she could not take him. But Sita was very strong in her determination, and she was powerful with Ravana. And every day Ravana came to her to convince her, and every day she rejected him, and she wouldn't look at him, and she would completely disturb him. And the most powerful guy in the universe, Sita was very, very strong. There was one time when she put a blade of grass between herself. Ravana would sit next to her, and she wouldn't look. But she has to chastise him and put him in his place. So she put the grass there. So you don't come over this line, but I'm going to tell you something. And then she told Ravana how that Ram would come here and he would destroy him, and she knows this will happen, this will come true, because she has this intense faith in Ram and love for Ram, and she's seen his expertise and his power, his strength. She was convinced that she would be saved and that she wouldn't even look at Ravana, and she was really, Ravana would leave and he would be completely devastated that he couldn't get the object of his meditation, the object of the whole cause for the endeavor to bring her here to Lanka to enjoy it. And he offered her to be the chief queen, that everybody else would serve her, and he offered her everything, anything that she wanted. But of course she wouldn't take it because of her relationship with Lord Ramchandra. And Hanuman was watching this, and he was watching the Rakshasis harassing her. And he felt like, immediately he felt like that he should jump down there and rip them apart. But he couldn't do that because it would be too confusing and it was the wrong time for him to act. So when the Rakshasis left and Ravana had left, Hanuman came back down to speak to her. And she was just thinking, this is a playful monkey, he's saying all stupid things, you know, he should just go away and stop harassing him, stop disturbing him. But he convinced her that he was Ram's messenger. And he said, why don't you get on my back now and I'll take you to Ram. And she's looking at him like, small monkey, he's not even up to my knees, how can I get on this monkey's back? I'll squash him. And she said, no, this is not a good idea. And Hanuman was thinking, you don't know how powerful I am. I just flew here across from Rameshwar. I can easily take you, no problem. And so Hanuman's pride was a bit hurt because he could see it. Sita saying, you little monkey, can't get on your back. So Hanuman became huge. He put this big Hanuman form and expanded and kept expanding his body. And Sita was quite shocked. And she said, okay, he's big for sure. And he's strong. He can take her across. But she gave many reasons why she wouldn't. And the main reason was because of her chastity. She said, I can't touch another man. If I touch you, then I would have given up my commitment to Ram. So even to say, and you'll see this in Ramayana and Mahabharata, particularly in Ramayana, you see many, many references to this subtle, very fine point of dharma, that if something is for my own benefit, just for my benefit, then we won't transgress. I won't transgress the regulations, the line of dharma, because just for my satisfaction, for my convenience. But for someone else, we could transgress. So she wouldn't touch because it was just to have her, to release her from the suffering and the miserable condition she was in. And still she was dependent on Ram. She was still convinced that he would come and he would protect her. When Ravana, the master of the Rakshasas, saw the disturbances created by the monkey soldiers, he called for Nikumbha, Kumbha, Dumaraksha, Durmukha, Surantaka, Narantaka, and other Rakshasas, and also his son, Indrajit. Thereafter he called for Prahasta, Atikaya, Vikampana, and finally, Kumbhakarna. Then he induced all of his followers to fight against the enemies. Lord Ramchandra, surrounded by Lakshmana and monkey soldiers like Sugriva, Hanuman, Gandamada, Nila, Angada, Jambavan, and Pansa, attacked the soldiers of the Rakshasas, who were fully equipped with various invincible weapons like swords, lances, bows, crosses, rishtis, shakti arrows, kargas, and tomaras. Angada and the other commanders of the soldiers of Ramchandra faced elephants, infantry, horses, and chariots of the enemy and hurled against them big trees, mountain peaks, clubs, and arrows. Thus the soldiers of Lord Ramchandra killed Ravana's soldiers, who had lost all good fortune, because Ravana had been condemned by the anger of Mother Sita. Thereafter, when Ravana, the king of the Rakshasas, observed that his soldiers had been lost, he was extremely angry. Thus he mounted his airplane, which was decorated with flowers, and proceeded toward Lord Ramchandra, who sat on the effulgent chariot brought by Matali, the chariot driver of Indra. Then Ravana struck Lord Ramchandra with sharp arrows. Lord Ramchandra said to Ravana, you are the most abominable of man-eaters. Indeed, you are like their stool. You resemble a dog, for as a dog steals edibles from the kitchen in the absence of the householder, in my absence you kidnapped my wife, Sitadevi. Therefore, as Yamaraj punishes sinful men, I shall also punish you. You are most abominable, sinful, and shameless. Today, therefore, I, whose attempt never fails, shall punish you.
In his purport, just briefly, Prabhupada quotes this verse from Gita, Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ahu anishvaram. The Rakshasas are unaware that the Supreme Lord is a ruler of the creation. They don't know what is truth. They don't know that this world is founded by Krishna. And they don't understand that there is a supreme controller. They say that there is no truth in this world. There's no foundation to this world. There's no supreme controller to this world. That is a characteristic of the definition of the Rakshasas, which Ravana was personification. After thus rebuking Ravana, Lord Ramchandra fixed an arrow to his bow, aimed at Ravana, and released the arrow, which pierced Ravana's heart like a thunderbolt. Upon seeing this, Ravana's followers raised a tumultuous sound, crying, "Alas! Alas! What has happened? What has happened?" As Ravana, vomiting blood from his 10 mouths, fell from his aeroplane, just as a pious man falls to earth from the heavenly planets when the results of his pious activities are exhausted. Thereafter, all the women whose husbands had fallen in the battle, headed by Mandodhari, the wife of Ravana, came out of Lanka continuously crying. They approached the dead bodies of Ravana and the other Rakshasas. And then they spoke their grief on seeing all the dead bodies. Then Ram returns back to Ayodhya. Let's see. Before he returns. The return of Ram is very... It's a very wonderful pastime. It's a pastime that's very deep meditation for devotees of the Lord. It's significant, symbolic. It's also, sometimes it's said this is the one of the important reasons for the Diwali festival, you can say, lighting the lamps. So we'll finish with this meditation of Ram returning successfully, triumphant, with Sita, and with other personalities, many other personalities, as we'll find out. O pleasure of the Rakshasa dynasty, because of you, the state of Lanka, and also we ourselves, now have no protector. By your deeds, you have made your body fit to be eaten by vultures, and you're still fit to go to hell. Also, Shukadeva Goswami said, Vibhishana, the pious brother of Ravana, and devotee of Lord Ramchandra, received approval from Lord Ramchandra, the king of Koshala. Then he performed the prescribed funeral ceremonies for his family members to save them from the path to hell. Vibhishana was very, of course, he became very dear to Lord Ramchandra, and he's empowering him here to rule over Lanka. And as I said the other morning, he was going to offer him, Lord Ramchandra was worshipping this Sri Rangan deity, Ranganathji. He was going to offer this to Vibhishana to take back to Lanka. That didn't happen. Ranganathji stayed in Sri Lanka. He was going to offer Ranganathji to Vibhishana as a token of appreciation for everything that he had done for him. And after this, Vibhishana says to Ram that now the funeral ceremony is being performed, now Ravana is gone, and now your path to back to Ayodhya is assured. You've got Sita Devi in one place, in one piece. Now stay here and enjoy for the night or for some nights here in Lanka. So you can have unlimited facility here. Maid servants and dancers and brahmanas chanting Vedic mantras and beds and all sorts of exotic foods and drinks, whatever you want. And all of your army and all of the monkeys, everybody can come and relax and enjoy, and then go back to Ayodhya. And Ramchandra said, we can't stay here for one more moment. We have to get back because Bharat has been waiting for us to return. The 14 years is over. Exile is over. Everybody's waiting in anxious anticipation for the return, for our return. So how can we stay here when I know that Bharat is drinking cow's urine? He's eating this oats soaked in cow's urine, and his hair is wearing matted hairs, locks of hair. And he's staying outside of the kingdom, in Nandigram. He's staying in a village with his ministers, who also have matted locks. Everybody's outside of the... How can we enjoy when they're performing austerities? This is the nature of the lesson that we get from Ramayana many times, over and over again, that our position in this life is as to consider the welfare of others. Sarva Bhuta Hitedataha. In Gita, Krishna says, those are dear to me who do things that are beneficial for other people, who are not selfishly concerned for their own desires and their own satisfaction, but who want to help others. And the greatest welfare work that we can do, the greatest help we can give to other living entities, is to enable them to take to Krishna consciousness, to progress in their Krishna consciousness. So Ram wouldn't stay there and enjoy, and immediately he made arrangements, and he requested Vibhishana that please somehow get us back to Ayodhya quickly. You don't want to go back on the bridge. You want to go back there quickly. So he said, we can arrange for this Pushpa Vimana to come. Ravana had stolen this. Ravana had so much facility. He had stolen this from Kuvera. So you just think of the Pushpa Vimana, it will come, and we think of a place we want to go, and it will go. It's a self-propelling, self-directing mechanism. So it appears, and it's the description of the Pushpa Vimana is that it had mansions. It wasn't like a mansion, like Kadama Muni had a mansion. It was mansions. One description in Ramayana says that there were beautiful golden arches, and the golden arches were decorated with fine jewels, inlaid with different types of exotic stones and jewels and beautiful garlands and water pots and all sorts of exotic, intricate paraphernalia on this Pushpa Vimana. So it's not a small little aeroplane like this, you know, an Airbus or something like that. But it's something that's very magnificent and very elegant, very beautiful. And so there were mansions on this. And so Sita was invited to get onto the Pushpa Vimana, and Ram got on, of course, and Lakshman. And then Vibhishana said, then Ram said, tell all the monkeys to come on also. So Hanuman came and all the monkeys came onto the Pushpa Vimana. And then Vibhishana was feeling a bit sad. He's thinking, these guys are going to go and see the coronation. They're going to go back to Ayodhya and see Ram crowned as the king. And I'll be here in Lanka. So he asked if he could come and serve Vibhishana there. And then his family members came. And as they were flying back with all the monkeys and Sita and Ram, Lakshman, Vibhishana, and all the triumphant soldiers, Ram was doing the 14 years in exile in reverse. And he was showing Sita, this is where we killed all these Rakshasas. This is where we first saw Ravana. This is where we did this. And he was showing the battlefield down there in Lanka. And then crossing over, and he went back through the Lila, through the different, Kishkinda, and through the different forests that they stayed in. And you remember when we were here at Bharadwaj Rumi's ashram, and you remember when we stayed here, and you remember this. So it was like we recollect and remember. Lord Ramchandra was recollecting different pastimes, different incidents that happened in the 14 years of the exile. And so they went to different personalities, ashrams. One or two places they stopped on the way. And they stopped in the ashram of Bharadwaj. And he was a very influential Muni sage. And Lord Ramchandra had told him that he should send notification that he's returning, that everybody's coming back. And by his mystic potency, he should make many different arrangements. So that, because he wants to reward all of the soldiers who had fought so valiantly in this battle against Ravana and his Rakshasa soldiers, he wanted to reward them. And because many of them are monkeys, he wants to give them a lot of fruit. So he asked Bharatma, he asked him, if he could make all of the trees outside of Ayodhya, if they could be full of fresh fruits, fresh, juicy fruits, so that the monkeys could be happy when they get back there. So it said from a 12-mile radius around Ayodhya, all the trees were fully laden with these fresh, juicy fruits that the monkeys could enjoy. And as they came over Kishkinda, Lord Ramchandra asked the Pushpa Vimana to stop, to go down. And he told Hanuman and the monkeys to bring all their wives. All the wives should come to Ayodhya for the coronation ceremony. So they went and got all their family members, wives and children, and they came on to the Pushpa Vimana. And they returned to Ayodhya with a full load of Ayodhya. And everybody got down there and they went straight to, well, they didn't go straight to Ayodhya. They went to Nandigram, and there Bharat was waiting for Lord Ramchandra, and there was a very emotional reunion of the family, and Lord Ramchandra meeting with Bharat and Shatrughna, Lakshman meeting with them, and their mothers and all the residents of Ayodhya were waiting and lined the streets. They were waiting for this special day, this return of Ram. And then they were asked for the coronation. The coronation was to take place the next day. They arrived one day, and the next day was the coronation. And the coronation is a big festival, of course. So Vishishtha Muni was organizing for the different paraphernalia that's required for the coronation. And to do a coronation, we need holy water. We need water from all of the holy rivers, and water from the different oceans. So four different oceans, and water from so many holy rivers. So they sent Hanuman and his team. They gave them these big, beautiful pots, golden pots, with precious jewels inlaid and beautiful patterns on them. And they gave them a pot each and said they have to come back before the morning with a pot full of water from different holy rivers and different oceans. So they came with many hundreds and hundreds of pots for the coronation. And the next day it was coronation. This is the transcendental nature of Krishna Lila, is that we don't need to have huge planning commissions to put on a festival. The festival just happened spontaneously. Festival happens without any big collection or donors or mail outs or folk muses or whatever goes out. Festival just happened like that. No need for any big organization. The organization happens on a different platform, on a different subtle platform. So Lord Ramchandra was shaved up, his matted locks were shaved, and he was prepared for this Abhishek, and all the great personalities came and performed Abhishek. Demigods came to perform Abhishek. And he was wearing the same crown that was given by Ikshvaku to Manu, and Manu to all the great kings. We'll just finish on this last very important shloka from the 10th chapter of the 9th canto. And here it says that Lord Ramchandra became the king during the Treta Yuga, but because of his good government, the age was like Satya Yuga. Everyone was religious and completely happy. Prabhupada says, among the four yugas, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali, the Kali Yuga is the worst. But if the process of Varnashram Dharma is introduced, even in this Kali age of Kali, the situation of Satya Yuga can be invoked. The Hare Krishna movement or Krishna consciousness movement is meant for this purpose. Now, this is not the only time Prabhupada makes this comment, that the Hare Krishna movement is meant for this purpose. In fact, 2 days ago we read the same thing, that the Hare Krishna movement was meant for this purpose, and it was about providing facility for grihasthas to hear Hare Krishna, to hear Hare Katha. He said this is the purpose for the Hare Krishna movement, is to provide grihasthas this facility. But here he's saying the Hare Krishna movement is meant for this purpose, to create Sakti Yuga, to introduce this process of Varnashram Dharma. Then he quotes the verse, Kale dosha nidhe rajan asti heko maham guna. Kitana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param brajet. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. That's from the 12th canto of Bhagavatam. If people take to this Sankirtan movement of chanting Hare Krishna Hare Rama, They will certainly be freed from the contamination of Kali Yuga, and the people of this age will be happy, as people were in Satya Yuga, the golden age. Anyone, anywhere, can easily take to this Hare Krishna movement. One need only to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, observe the rules and regulations, and stay free from the contamination of sinful life. Even if one is sinful and cannot give up sinful life immediately, if he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with devotion and faith, he will certainly be freed from all sinful activities, and his life will be successful. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. This is the blessing of Lord Ramchandra, who has appeared in this age of Kali as Lord Gaurasundara. So, just to unpack this statement a little bit in a short couple of minutes. First, Prabhupada saying that if the process of Varnashram Dharma is introduced, even in this age of Kali, the situation will be like Satya Yuga, can be invoked. And then he quotes this Kali Dosha verse. So there's a merging, you can say, of Varnashram Dharma and Sankirtan Yajna in this presentation of Prabhupada. He's saying, if we introduce the process of Varnashram Dharma, then we can invoke Satya Yuga. But this doesn't mean if we introduce the process of the caste system, we'll invoke Satya Yuga. We can't do it like that. But the Varnashram Dharma system, we can, Daivi Varnashrama. And what is the essential element of this Daivi Varnashrama is that it's for the pleasure of Vishnu. It's for the glorification, for the edification of Krishna. It's to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Varnashram Dharma. And so in this sense, Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada makes a comment in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna consciousness and Sankirtan Yajna go well together. And you might think, well, that seems like some kind of a tautology or something that doesn't need to be said, Krishna consciousness and Sankirtan Yajna. But there is an interesting distinction between, or not, it's not a distinction, there's an interesting connection between Sankirtan Yajna and the Krishna consciousness. Because the Yajna, we can say that Sankirtan Yajna is Varnashram Dharma, that Sankirtan Yajna is a culture. And the culture is defined in terms of Panchanga Bhakti. And we define Varnashram Dharma in terms of Panchanga Bhakti. So that this culture of the Sankirtan Yajna is very important to define and to practice, not theoretically, but to practice. So we have deity worship, and we have Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the holy name, we have the association of the Vaishnavas, and we have the holy place, the Dharma. So this is our the culture of Krishna consciousness that creates a culture. And within that culture, the social and spiritual organization is Varnashrama. We have a structure. There's a structure within the culture which enables it to sustain, to nurture, to nourish. And the consciousness that's required for this culture, it enables and it nurtures and nourishes a consciousness, and it demands a consciousness. In order to fully take advantage of this culture of Sankirtan Yajna, we need to develop our consciousness. So it's a process. It's a process and not an event, as we say. It's the process of Krishna consciousness is enhanced by Sankirtan Yajna. We can't have Krishna consciousness without this culture. Krishna consciousness can't exist independently of a culture. We can't exist without a culture. So Krishna consciousness can't develop. And the culture enables us to develop our consciousness, our awareness of Krishna. That is the definition of Krishna consciousness, that we become more and more aware or cognizant that Krishna is the goal of our life. So in this way, we can create Satya Yuga by developing this Panchanga Bhakti, but just by doing exactly what Prabhupada said. And it doesn't mean we have to be extremely knowledgeable in Vedic literatures, or we have to be extremely renounced, or we have to be extremely anything. We just have to do what Prabhupada has given to us. We have to chant Hare Krishna, follow the regulations. In fact, the whole Varnashram system is summarized in 3 points here. Prabhupada says, if people take this Sankirtan movement by chanting Hare Krishna, they will certainly be free from contamination. Anyone anywhere can easily take to this Hare Krishna movement. One need only to chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one thing, observe the rules and regulations. Means we follow simple rules and regulations, and that enables us or qualifies us to connect with this culture and develop our consciousness and stay free from the contamination of simple life by association. So we have three more verses. When Lord Ramchandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was the king of this world, all bodily and mental suffering, disease, old age, bereavement, lamentation, distress, fear, and fatigue were completely absent. There was even no death for those who did not want it. Lord Ramchandra took a vow to accept only one wife, Eka Patni Brata, and have no connection with any other woman. He was a saintly king, and everything in his character was good, untinged by qualities like anger. He taught good behavior for everyone, especially for householders, in terms of Varnashram Dharma. Thus he taught the general public by his personal activities. Mother Sita was very submissive, faithful, shy and chaste, always understanding the attitude of her husband. Thus by her character and her love and service, she completely attracted the mind of the Lord. And Prabhupada's final comment is, as Lord Ramchandra is the ideal husband, Eka Patni Vrata, Mother Sita is the ideal wife. Such a combination makes family life very happy. Yadyara charati sreshtas tatat evataro juna janaha. Whatever example a great man sets, common people follow. If the kings, the leaders, and the brahmanas, the teachers, would set forth the example we receive from Vedic literature, the entire world would be heaven. Indeed, there will be no longer any hellish conditions within this material world. Asendi Bhakti Vedanta Purports of 9th Canto, 10th Chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Pastimes of the Supreme Lord, Ramchandra. Shri Ramchandra Bhagavan ki.
Jai.
Shri Prabhupada ki.
Jai.